until you understood I had your best interests in mind, but I can't promise to get your permission." She sighed and rubbed her chin on her drawn-up knees. "That doesn't help. Would it help if I swore to you that I'd only do something if it was in your best interests? Any decision I make is to make your life easier. I can definitely promise you that. It won't be to further my career or blindly follow the chain of command. I'm not that man. And just so you know, neither is Zeke." Zara looked over her shoulder at him.
"I don't know what to do."
"What does your gut say? You have good instincts." She was terrified that Belicia would tell Ezekiel before she told Gino. Gino was her choice. In her heart, she knew she'd already made up her mind about him. She might lie to herself and say she didn't want a man, but she wanted him for herself. She never felt alone when she was with him, and she hated letting him down. "It's in my head," she blurted out, her secret. "Whitney planted a carbon nanotube SSD in my brain. The storage unit is made of peak carbon, so it can't be seen with X-ray, MRI, or CT scans." "You downloaded all of Cheng's files into that storage unit?" She glanced at him over her shoulder. Her eyes met his. He gave nothing away, his face a mask of indifference. She nodded. "You'd need a battery. Power." She turned back so she could rest her head again, thankful he wasn't jumping around the room at the disclosure, excited to know what she had in her head.
"Movements of the body power it, like some pacemakers."
"What about a generator? You'd need something to send the power to the storage unit." She nodded.
"From what I understand, it's made of the peak carbon as well, and sits on a flat piece of peak carbon right next to the storage unit, so it's undetectable."
"Of course. Whitney is a master at coming up with technology that he needs."
"He is," she agreed, "because he piggybacks on others' technology. That's why he always sent me out to those businesses involving research. He wanted what they had. Cheng collects information on people, really nasty information that allows him to blackmail them. If Whitney gets that material, he would use it for his own gain. If I could get it out of my head, I'd like to just destroy it all. But there's also information on various terrorist cells, things that could save lives. If I give it to the government, all of the data would most likely fall back into Whitney's hands anyway, and I haven't saved anyone."
"You can upload it. Can you download it yourself?"
"I should be able to. I can always talk to machines. But he's done something to block me once the information is in the unit. That prevents me from turning it over to someone else."
"How does he get the information out?"
"I don't know. I'm always asleep when he takes it out."
"Under anesthesia?" She shook her head.
"He gives me an injection. I go to sleep fast and wake up to him telling me we're done."
"That's why the soldier kept his gun pointed to a specific part of your brain. He was going to destroy the unit if they had to kill you, rather than letting the intelligence you'd gathered fall into someone else's hands."
"He might still kill me."
"I'm not okay with that, so between the two of us, we'll figure it out. I'm not turning you over to anyone. I'll see what I can come up with. I have to remove the capsules. Maybe I can remove the storage unit at the same time."
She shook her head. "He said that was permanent, and even he couldn't remove it without damaging my brain. I believed him. I can usually tell his lies from the truth. Most of us can, because we've heard them so often."
"So, if that's true, then we know he has a way to download the material without removing the SSD. If he can do it, so can we."
"What are we going to do with the information if we extract it?"
"Not if. We have to extract it. As long as you have that information in your head, Whitney will keep coming after you. If anyone else finds out, and if Whitney can't reacquire you, he'll tell someone higher up to get the information from you. Then we'll have another huge problem on our hands. We can run, but eventually they'll catch up with us. We have to remove it, sooner rather than later."
That made sense. The idea that Zhu might find out sent a tremor running through her body. "He's going to come after me, no matter what," she whispered. Gino was silent, but his arms tightened around her. His chin nuzzled her head. "You're thinking about Zhu, not Whitney." She nodded. "He won't let me go." "Maybe not. Maybe he's stupid or arrogant enough to think he can come to our home turf and steal you away from me. But he can't. It isn't going to happen, Princess. I'm not leaving your side. You'll have to eventually. They'll send you out on another rescue, and then he'll come. I know he will." Her voice had begun to swing out of control, just like the rapid beating of her heart. She shoved her fist in her mouth and bit down hard. "Zara, you're getting worked up for nothing," he objected, his voice a soothing sound that seemed to penetrate her worst nightmare and make her believe he could stop Zhu when no one else could. "We'll take this one step at a time. Zhu is far down the list. I've got eyes on him. He leaves Shanghai, we'll know it. In the meantime, let's worry about removing the virus capsules. We'll do that tomorrow." He sounded so utterly calm, so completely in control, that Zara was able to breathe deep and feel safe again. He would take care of things. More, he could be counted on. Step one sounded good to her. "Are you certain there are two virus capsules? No more?" "I don't believe he put more than two in you. But we plan to study the virus and come up with an antidote. Belicia said each virus is specific to the person Whitney implants it in. But we'll compare the one he put in you to the one he put in her and see if they're the same or close. That way, if another woman comes this way, we can inject her immediately with an antidote." She liked that. She liked to think that they were already thinking ahead to saving more of the women Whitney held prisoner. She nodded her head. "Thank you, Gino." "For what, beautiful? I haven't done much. You make me feel safe." It was so much more than that. She took a breath and tried to tell him. He deserved that much from her. "You seem to see me when no one else can get past my brain. Sometimes I hate the fact that I'm supposed to be so intelligent. Whitney made certain to point out how worthless to him I was, that my brain wasn't all that. Everyone knows Whitney is a self-centered ass, Zara," Gino said. She couldn't help smiling. He was a self-centered ass. An egotistical maniac, maybe, as well, but that's not the point. While he was telling me how stupid and worthless I was, everyone else was telling me that I owed it to the world to get my brain out there and do something enormous. She turned her head so she could look at him over her shoulder. "I'm not just a brain to you. I'm a person. So, thank you for seeing me." His smile was slow in coming, but when it did, her heart gave a funny flip. Her stomach somersaulted, and deep inside, her womb quivered. God, he was gorgeous when he smiled. When he wasn't smiling, he was compelling, hot and intense, but when he smiled, there was never going to be a way she could say no to him. "You're welcome, Zara." His hand cupped her chin, his thumb sliding over her bare skin. All the while, his eyes looked into hers. "There's never going to be a time when I won't be able to see you. Remember that for me, will you?" She nodded. "Kiss me." She blurted her request out before she could stop herself, before she knew what she was going to ask, but it seemed to be something she was asking of him on a nightly basis now. He didn't hesitate, but then he never did. Gino was always decisive. He leaned down and took her mouth. He didn't seem to care that her face was swollen and bruised. He looked right past that in just the same way he looked past her intellect that was supposed to be so superior but only added to her isolation. He didn't seem to mind that she was inexperienced in the kissing department. He took command instantly. She was fairly certain her entire body ignited at his touch. His lips were firm and cool, and warmed hers until she was nearly liquid. His mouth was paradise, and she let herself get lost there. He kissed her like he did everything else, with absolute confidence. Excitement coursed through her. She tried to follow his lead and then just didn't care. letting him take her over, because whenever she gave herself to him, however she did it, she always got more from him. His kisses were no different. He led her from gentle to rough, from tender to devouring her. She wanted to be devoured. It felt like worship and desire. And then it felt like passion and sin. She wanted that as well. She wanted everything he would give her. He was the one who stopped first. He lifted his head a scant inch from hers, his dark eyes searching hers. "We're getting out of hand, princess. A little more and I'm going to have you straddling me. You're not ready for that."
"I am."
She was certain she was. His smile was slow in coming again, but when it did, everything in her responded. "No, baby, I wish you were, but when you come to me, it isn't going to be because you're grateful or afraid. You're going to want me for me. That means you have to get to know me. I've told you, I'm not a good man, and you'll have to be able to live with that, because once I take you, I'm not letting you go." His warning should have made her leery. He was echoing the things Belicia had said to her, but instead, Zara liked him all the more for giving her a warning. She especially liked that if she was with him, he wanted her for all time. She couldn't imagine having Gino for her own. She wasn't gifted in the way Belicia or Cayenne was. She would never be a soldier, and he was a first-class warrior.
"I can't fight."
Again, she just blurted it out without thinking. "I mean, I can, but I'm not really any good, not like Belicia or any of the other women. If I had to defend someone, I could do it, but..." Now she was just babbling. His hand swept over her head and down her back, following her thick braid. His touch was exquisitely gentle. "Zara, I don't want a woman to fight by my side. I'm better out there in the dark, alone. I fight alone. It's what I do best. If I had to worry that my woman was somewhere fighting off an army of men, I'd lose my fucking mind. That's the truth. I'm not made the way some of the other men are." She knew that was what Belicia had tried to warn her about. Belicia wouldn't be able to stand it if Ezekiel wanted her stashed somewhere safe while he went out to fight. Zara wasn't Belicia, and she never would be. Whitney had detested her, calling her a coward, but she'd gone out each time he'd asked and stolen the data he needed. Belicia and Shyla had pointed out to her over and over that she did everything Whitney required her to do, and he still called her a coward. She needed to know if her sisters had told her that out of love, or if it was the truth. "Am I a coward because I hate pain and violence so much I don't want to fight? I want a real answer, Gino, not a platitude." "No, of course not, Zara. I realize the world has changed into a place where everyone judges everyone else and holds them up to impossible standards. No one takes into account different personalities or things that happened in one's past. If you need someone to take the brunt of the world for you, there's nothing wrong with that. Some men prefer that trait in a woman." He wrapped her braid around his fist and stared down at the thick mass. "Sometimes, princess, people are cruel when they don't mean to be. You're not a coward. If you were a coward, you wouldn't have gone out time after time and stolen the information Whitney required. You certainly would have told Zhu about the SSD in your head. You would have given up Whitney and even the Ghostwalkers. You didn't, in spite of being terrified of pain. He inflicted the worst kind of pain on someone like you. Not just physical, but psychological as well. You didn't break." She wanted to kiss him again, but before she could act on the impulse, a knock on the door prevented her from saying anything. She reached down and tugged at the blanket she should have been covering up with all along. Wyatt's grandmother stuck her head into the room.
"I brought the poultices for her feet, Gino."
"I'll take them, Nani." Gino stirred behind her, gently moving her forward so he could get out from behind her.
"And you might put one of your shirts on her. Tomorrow I'll have the girls go into town and buy her a few things. I'm the only one tall enough to give her clothes, and I'm pretty certain she doesn't want my old lady clothes."
Nani chuckled at her own joke. "I thought her skin would heal faster without anything between it and the air." Nani frowned and then nodded slowly.
"If she doesn't mind, it would be best." I'll keep everyone out.
You behave yourself, Gino,
Nani cautioned. That girl is an innocent.
I'll protect her, even from myself.
I believe you.
Nani handed over the poultices, patted Zara on the head and went out, leaving them alone, the way Zara preferred.
Zara couldn't help but think Nani thought Gino was a good man.
Chapter 11
Where are we going?
Zara asked. She desperately wanted to go somewhere, anywhere, just to get out of the house. The walls were closing in on her. Gino and Wyatt had removed the two capsules, preserving them so they could study the virus Whitney planned to infect her with. The swelling was gone completely from her face, and most of the colors had faded. The bruising from the caning had subsided, and the lacerations from the whip had mostly healed. There were one or two places on her body that Gino wasn't happy with, but even those wounds were closed and healing, although tender. Over the last week, Gino had taken the utmost care of her. She found herself thinking of him constantly. She hadn't been alone with Belicia, not once during the last week. She didn't know if Belicia needed time to think things over and was avoiding her, or if she was training with Ezekiel and the team. But Zara was worried that too much time was slipping by. Whitney wasn't going to give them much longer before he came after her again. He had to be obsessing the way he did when his plans were thwarted.
"I'm going to take you on a picnic," Gino said. "It's hot and humid today. We may even get rain, but that won't really cool things down. I asked Nani to fix us a picnic lunch. I knew you needed to get out of here, and I thought I'd show you the swamp. It's beautiful. You'll appreciate the cranes and other types of birds and wildlife."
The idea of leaving the house and getting out into the swamp was so appealing she nearly leapt out of bed, until he gave her a stern look and she subsided, but she flashed him a huge smile.
"Put your hair up off your neck. I'm going to cover you in mosquito repellent."
She immediately pulled her hair up, put it in a ponytail, and then added another tie in order to twist the thick mass into a knot on top of her head. Gino sat on the edge of the bed and began to rub the mosquito repellent into her shoulders and the back of her neck.
"We're going to have to address the problem of extracting the information from the SSD, Zara. We need a little help. Trap is unconventional. He doesn't think like a soldier. He would never tell anyone, and he's extremely smart. We could use his brain. Wyatt's a lot like him, intelligent and a bit of a rogue. I know you haven't spent any time with them, but they would be my choices for help. What do you think?"
Zara chewed on her lower lip, thinking it over. Everyone talked about Trap as if he might be the smartest man on the planet. Wyatt, too. It was possible the three men might just find a way to extract the information.
"I don't know, Gino. I'd like to talk things over with Belicia again. I know we didn't do very well the first time, but her opinion matters to me, and I'm not so jealous and hurt anymore. I think I have a better understanding of relationships and what she was trying to tell me."
Gino rubbed the repellent over both arms, making certain to get the backs of her hands.
"That's a good idea, Princess. Let's get on that as soon as possible."
Zara nodded her head, trying not to react to the feel of his hands on her. The more she was with him, the more she found it was impossible to control the way her blood seemed to heat, moving through her veins like thick molasses. She'd never experienced deep, needy hunger that made her edgy the way she felt around him. A sharp rap on the door had her jerking the sheet up to cover her body. She'd grown used to wearing just a T-shirt in bed and nothing else around Gino, but company was altogether different.
"Come in,"
Gino called out, but his hand settled around the nape of her neck as Ezekiel and Belicia came into the room. Ezekiel closed the door, giving them privacy in the busy household. Zara smiled at her sister, relieved to see her.
"I was just telling Gino I wanted to see you," she said. "I'm so glad you came."
Belicia leaned in to kiss her on the cheek.
"Me too.
I've been training and haven't gotten the chance to do anything but peek in on you while you were sleeping.
Gino told me. He has this thing about me taking naps. She smiled up at Gino, her stomach doing a slow somersault when she found him looking down at her.
It helps you heal faster, he said.
He slipped off the bed to give Belicia more room. Taking a position against the wall alongside Ezekiel, he continued,
Your internal organs were bruised from the beating and caning. They have to heal as well. Sleep helps.
Ezekiel smiled at Zara.
You're looking so much better. How are you feeling?
Whatever is in Nani's poultices is definitely helping. I have to admit, taking baths in tea water and flowers feels strange, but it seems to be working, Zara admitted.
Belicia paced close to the bed, looking her face over and moving the sheet to look at her legs.
Zara wanted to pull the sheet over herself, suddenly uncomfortable.
I'm much better.
You still have lacerations, Belicia pointed out.
You do know, Zara, that Gino isn't the only doctor here. Ezekiel is a doctor. There are a few others.
If you want more than one opinion, you could get it without stepping out of this room.
She looked around the room with a small frown.
Why aren't the window shades open? It's always so dark in here.
She marched over and immediately raised two of the three shades, glaring at Gino.
You're not a prisoner, honey. You need light and fresh air.
Zara blinked at the sudden change in lighting. She had been the one to insist that Gino keep the shades pulled. The longer she was there at the Fontenot home, the more she worried that Zhu would come, or a sniper would find a way to kill Gino because he was with her.
We were going on a picnic, she said. Gino asked Nani to fix us a lunch. I'm really excited about seeing the swamp.
I came to ask you if you want to go with Zeke and me to see the house we're building, Belicia said.
Zara caught Ezekiel's frown out of the corner of her eye, and she knew Belicia well enough to know she wasn't telling the truth. There was concern on her face, in her eyes, and her gaze kept shifting to Gino. Clearly, she was still worried about Zara's relationship with him.
I'm sorry, hon, but we've made these plans, she said, very carefully, not wanting Belicia's feelings to be hurt.
Nani made the lunch.
At Gino's orders, Belicia burst out, openly glaring at him.
Babe, Ezekiel said, his voice gentle.
No, she has to know what's going on. Seriously, Zara, he tells Nani what you can eat that day. He goes in every single morning and comes up with a menu. It doesn't matter what the rest of us are eating. He decides what you can and can't eat. He decides when you can sleep and who can come in and visit you. That's not right.
The accusation tumbled out of her, and Zara could feel her very real concern. She knew Belicia, and right then she was close to tears. Crying was something her sister rarely did. She looked to Gino to clear things up, confident that he would.
I consult with Nani on the menus, Gino told Belicia. She knows local herbs and dishes that would be more conducive to healing the body. Nutrition is more her forte than mine, so I follow her advice. I certainly am not the one making up the menu.
The point is, Gino, you don't consult Zara.
I think more to the point, I don't consult you, Gino said quietly.
Small blue rings appeared faintly under Belicia's skin, and Zara sat up straighter, suddenly afraid for Gino.
I don't mind the menu. The food is good, and if it makes Nani and Gino feel better to have me eat a certain way right now, I'm okay with it. Nani's an exceptional cook, and everything tastes wonderful.
Belicia threw her arms into the air.
You're missing the point. Think about it. Gino is keeping everyone from getting near you, and he has to stop.
I've talked to Zeke about removing him from helping with your care.
She glared at Gino.
He shrugged. You can try it, Belicia, but it isn't going to stop me. No one is going to stop me but Zara. She has only to say she would prefer someone else, and I'm gone.
Zara's heart jumped. Instantly, her breathing turned ragged, so that it felt as if with every breath she took, her lungs burned. She shook her head, her gaze going to Gino's.
Relax, princess, he drawled. Didn't I just say I wasn't going anywhere?
Belicia's frown deepened.
Don't you see that you're becoming too dependent on him, Zara? This isn't you. You're the kick-ass, independent woman who's going to rock the world. You're not the one having panic attacks because your boyfriend doesn't want you making your own decisions.
Zeke. Gino's voice was quiet. So quiet it made Zara's heart pound in alarm.
Take your woman out of here before I put her out.
You try it, Belicia snapped. One bite from me and you're a dead man.
Belicia.
Ezekiel just said her name, a warning note in his voice, and color swept up her neck into her face. That wasn't good enough for Zara. She forced her body out from under the sheet and turned so her long legs were over the side of the bed.
Don't you dare threaten him. I mean it, Belicia. You're my best friend. I love you. But you don't get to talk to him like that. And you better never threaten him again. Never. Do you understand me? I'm not without my own ability to kill, and if it came to that, I believe in revenge. You know I do. You touch him, you dare inject him with venom, your man is just as dead. Someone has to protect you, Zara. You're not thinking straight. No one has to protect me. The virus is out of me, and I'm doing quite well. I can think for myself.
Ezekiel put his hand gently on Belicia's arm. Come on, baby. We all need a breather. You've been worrying yourself sick over Zara. Obviously, she doesn't feel like a prisoner. And I told you all along, Gino is a good man and will take excellent care of her. Let's go for a swim, and then you can sleep for a while. That made Zara feel like crap. Belicia would be worried. She loved Zara, and Zara wasn't acting the way Belicia thought she should, or would. That was on her. She'd misled Belicia and Shyla deliberately. Belicia didn't have all the facts, and Zara didn't want Gino to judge her harshly. Still, it didn't make sense that Belicia was so against Gino. She watched the two leave the room, and then she raised her gaze until she met Gino's.
"Why doesn't she like you?"
He shrugged. "She doesn't like Trap much, either. We're not the type of man women like, Zara. Trap has Asperger's and can't read social cues. He doesn't give a damn most of the time, but it does upset him when he screws up with one of us, or especially Cayenne. Drayden is always interpreted for him because he's very good at reading people, whether they want to be read or not, and I have that same trait." He shrugged. "Belicia has an idea for your future. She's fierce about it. She also has very real concerns. She thinks you're my prisoner, and I'm going to make you into some kind of sexual submissive."
Zara shivered, wondering what that would be like with Gino. "She regards herself as a feminist and wants me to be one as well."
"Just because you don't want to conquer the world doesn't mean you aren't a feminist. A true feminist wouldn't tell other women what they should or shouldn't do. They would support their decisions. This isn't about Belicia being a feminist, Princess. It's about her worrying herself sick about you. You'll have to find the time to talk to her without me in the room. You can be open and honest, and she'll settle down." He stood up and stretched. She watched because she always enjoyed seeing the way his muscles moved every time he did. There was something to what he said. She hadn't thought about that. He moved close, reached down, pulled her legs apart, and stepped even closer, wedging his hips between her thighs. It was an intimate thing to do, and her body responded with damp heat and blood pounding through her clit.
"I think you may have left a couple of very important things out when you were talking to me about your ability to fight."
She swallowed and avoided his eyes. "I told you I could fight. I trained just like everyone else."
She couldn't control the blush, and she knew he saw it. He never missed anything. "I'm not talking about combat or weapons training, baby. I'm talking about that little bomb you just dropped when you were threatening Zeke, and I'm fairly certain you know that's what I'm referring to." She glanced up at him from under her lashes, trying to judge how angry he was, or if he was at all. It was impossible. He didn't give much away. His gaze was steady on hers, compelling. She sighed. There was no getting around Gino when he wanted something. He'd just stare at her until she caved.
"Okay, fine. Belicia has a venom.
I do as well. It's a kind of a failsafe. Whitney's first idea with us was combat. He wanted to see what we could do in the field together. An all-female team. Water, desert, climbing, air, whatever was needed. There were two other women with Shyla, Belicia, and me. They were killed first time out. He was furious. They'd tried to escape rather than fight his army of super soldiers. It had left the three of them to fight alone against the team he'd sent against them. After that, when we were sent out, he held one of us back. "You're stalling," she was. She hated telling him the truth, because she knew he'd look at her differently. Right now, he looked at her as if she needed him, and she did. He looked at her as if she could be the center of his world, and she knew she could be if given the chance. Her ability to drop someone in seconds would change everything. "I can call up venom under my nails if necessary. One rake and my enemy is dead." He studied her face. "You had the ability to kill Zhu, and you resisted. You allowed him to torture you." She nodded. "I had to. If I didn't, Cheng would know for certain I was an agent. He didn't believe I was. Zhu convinced Cheng I was what they thought I was, the woman who developed the value system and came to various businesses to talk about it and answer questions. As long as my cover was intact, the Ghostwalker program was safe. If they knew I was an agent, Cheng would have a Ghostwalker to take apart and study. I couldn't allow that to happen no matter what." He shook his head. "And you say you're not brave." He caught her chin with two fingers and lifted her head. His mouth brushed hers gently. "So, when I've got you coming apart in my arms and screaming my name while you rake my back with your fingernails, are you going to make certain you keep that venom under control?" Her heart accelerated. It was a wonder she hadn't had a heart attack around him yet. She nodded. "I think I can do that, but I've never actually been that out of control. Maybe we should try to find an antidote before we try it." "What poison did he use?" "Deathstalker scorpion, but he multiplied the strength of the venom. It's lethal under most circumstances. I try to control it, but it doesn't always work, depending on my level of panic." "You had to be panicked when Zhu was torturing you." "There were others to think of, Gino. All of you. Belicia and Shyla. Every person Whitney experimented on. We don't need another Whitney, and trust me, Cheng would have been far worse with his experiments. Whitney is a patriot. Cheng has no one he is loyal to, unless it's Zhu. I can't get over you, woman, thinking you aren't brave. Does Belicia know you have enough venom to protect yourself if needed?" She nodded. "She encouraged me to try to learn to control it. She thought if I was out on a mission and someone did catch me, I could possibly scratch them lightly and get away. I'm not that good. I would never harm an innocent person or take the chance of harming one in order to protect myself like that. They'd never find the SSD, so they could never prove I stole their work. If I'm caught, I just have to ride it out. And in this case, it was a rough ride." She looked down at her hands. "When we were on missions, it wasn't easy on either Belicia or Shyla. I hated killing others. I could take them down, but I rarely could make myself finish them off. Belicia or Shyla had to do it, whichever one was with me. The two of them covered for me all the time, because Whitney detested that I couldn't do what he wanted. He would keep me up for days, having one of his soldiers screaming at me while I stood at attention that all I had to do was scratch the enemy's arm or neck or any part of his body, and he was dead. Belicia and Shyla sometimes lied and got caught, and then they'd be punished in front of me." Now he knew what a thief, a coward, and a fraud she was. Yes, she had venom, but no, she didn't use it. Deep down, she knew she could under extreme circumstances, like saving someone else's life. She would do it to save Gino, or Belicia, or not do it to save them. "Let's go for our picnic. Abruptly, he changed the subject. She was desperate to get out of the room.
"Yes, please. I'm really excited about our trip. I like it here, and want to get to know everyone better, but being inside is making me crazy."
"Give me a minute to finish putting the mosquito repellent on you." He was touching her legs now, smoothing on the repellent. His hands were large and calloused. She liked the way his fingers glided over her skin, almost possessively. She wanted him to be possessive. "You stay here at this house," she said, trying to sound casual. "Do you have a home somewhere else? A place that's yours?" He had turned away, rummaging in a drawer. "I've got a few of them. I bought property up by Trap, in the swamp. I've got a crew building now. All of us are establishing homes here. We're building a fortress, trying to put the Fontenot home in the middle. Wyatt has 3 kids and another on the way. He's got Nani. We all claim them as family as well. So we're working to ensure their safety. Trap's place is nearly impenetrable now. That's our go-to in an emergency. I want to be close so that my woman and any children we have together can get there fast. This is the swamp, so underground tunnels require a lot of work. The water table is very high and it's dangerous, so we're coming up with other solutions." He turned back to her with a fresh shirt. This wasn't the usual T-shirt. The blouse was a pale mint color, with a small laced edge up either side of the front, closed by knotting the lacy edges under her breasts, really more of a cover-up than a blouse. It was hot outside, sultry. The humidity in the swamp was off the charts. "Put your arms up." Zara did so, and he pulled the shirt she'd been wearing over her head and tossed it aside. He always was impersonal when he dressed her, and that was a little annoying. Still, it made it easier on her, so maybe it was easier that way on him. The blouse was sexy, no question about it, and she wasn't certain who had bought it. He hadn't left her side for very long, a couple of hours here and there, maybe while she slept. It was very difficult to slide her arms into the sleeves and have him settle the material over the swell of her breasts and tie the knot just below them without reacting. Her nipples peaked, 2 hard temptations, pushing at the thin material as his knuckles rubbed her sensitive skin. "There's a matching thong and sarong." He crouched down on the floor and put first 1 foot and then the other into the thong, pulling the scrap of mint green up to her thighs. "Can you lift up, princess?" He wasn't as unaffected as his features said. His eyes had darkened with desire, with a lust that took her breath away as his gaze moved up her body. She lifted off the bed, and he slid the thong over her hips, settling the thin mint lace just under her belly button. "Turn over." Her heart beating hard, she complied with his order, rolling over and stretching out on the bed. His hand smoothed over her buttocks and then settled the little scrap of lace between her cheeks. His fingers dug into her flesh for a moment. "Does that hurt? At all? Tell me the truth, Zara." She had to fight for air.
"No."
She didn't want him to take his hand away. "I love the way you look laid out like this on my bed. Sexy as fuck, woman. I'm warning you right now, as of today, things are changing between us." He smoothed his hand over her buttocks again, and then caught at her arm to help her roll over and sit up. Zara looked up at him, her body feeling hot and flushed. Deep inside, that persistent throbbing beat at her. "I've given you every opportunity to say you want out, and you haven't taken it. You could have asked Zeke and Belicia to take over, but you didn't. Why?" She touched her tongue to her lip, and his eyes went predatory. "I want to be with you." "Do you understand what being with me means, Zara? You're almost completely healed. There's only your feet, and resting them a couple of more weeks should have you walking. Maybe not running, but at least walking. And with physical therapy, you'll be good. You don't need me as your doctor."
"I know."
She did. She was terrified he'd decide she only wanted to stay with him because he'd rescued her. She knew that was what Belicia thought. But the more time she'd spent with him, the more she wanted to be with him. Once you're mine, baby, there isn't any going back. So you be damn sure I'm what you want. Just his voice, that soft bite, could command her complete attention, no matter how quietly he spoke. A shiver went down her spine, and little fingers of desire danced over her thighs. You are. She felt very daring telling him, but she meant it. She wanted what she'd had these last couple of weeks. This man, solid and confident, standing by her side, or in front of her. She didn't feel less around him. He made her feel more. I'm certain, Gino. His hand cupped the side of her face, his thumb sliding along her jaw. I'm certain as well, Princess. You're going to feel overwhelmed at times and afraid. When you do, you come to me. You tell me what you're thinking and feeling at all times. That's important to me. I want to know the things that matter to you, the things you want. I'm talking about everything from household items to what you want or need in the bedroom. She found herself blushing, but she nodded to let him know she understood. He always seemed to want her to talk to him, and when she did, he listened to her. She hoped Belicia had that from Ezekiel. They'd had each other and Shyla at the compound, but not a single person ever listened to a word they said, or cared when they were hurting or hungry or needed anything. She needed to make the effort to reassure Belicia she was happy with Gino. She also needed to make the effort to get to know Ezekiel. Misunderstandings were piling up, and she was certain it was her fault. She loved Belicia. She should never have lied to her about liking to travel. She loved her work, and truthfully, she loved talking about it with anyone interested. But she didn't love the airports and people, the hotels and people, the strangers and the businesses, all those decisions when any moment she could say or do the wrong thing. She hated those. Belicia would have understood, and she'd probably be more understanding of Gino as Zara's choice. It wasn't fair that she was expecting Belicia to like Gino when she hadn't even taken the time to try to get to know and like Ezekiel. She vowed to talk to Belicia when they got back home. Let's get your sarong on and get moving. I want to show you so many places in the swamp. I've put cushions in the boat, so hopefully you'll be comfortable. This is kind of see-through, don't you think? She couldn't keep the amusement out of her voice. More than once, he'd hastily covered her up when someone came into the room, and the T-shirt she was wearing had hiked up her thighs. It's meant to be a bathing suit cover-up. I didn't want you wearing the suit yet and having it pressed too tightly against your skin. This will hopefully make you feel covered, but still be cool enough. No one's going to see you where we're going. She hoped not, because it was really see-through. Still, it made her feel beautiful, sexy and very desirable, something she wasn't used to, but wanted more of. He reached for her and helped her to stand gingerly on her feet. Pain flashed through her immediately, but she stayed very still while he tied the mint, lacy sarong around her hips. It was just as thin as the blouse. She felt feminine and very sexy, but that was probably just the way Gino looked at her, not the clothes. Is this outfit the type of clothing you like me to wear? Her voice sounded shaky and shy, even to her. I love how you look right now, baby, but it's only for me. When we're alone together. Otherwise, you're covering up when we go out in public. I like the clothes you wear on your trips. They're classy. I chose them, she said, happy he liked the things she liked. The smile faded. I like skirts. I'm kind of girly in how I like to dress. I like your girly look, Zara. You want to wear skirts? Wear them. As long as they aren't so short, I want to yank you into the nearest closet and have my way with you. She laughed. You're so crazy. I like long skirts, but I wouldn't mind going into the closet with you, so I might go short if I think it would get me you. You have me, Zara. Anytime you want. When we're alone, I'd like you wearing the kinds of things I choose for you. You're so beautiful. and I like seeing your body. You're going to give that to me? It will take some time to get to know what you like, Gino, but of course. Because who didn't want to feel sexy? It was exciting to think he wanted her to wear sexy lingerie for him. She wanted to be able to surprise him occasionally once she learned what he liked. I enjoy buying them for you, baby. But you'll get a feel for my preferences after a while. Until then, we can shop together. He gave her another smile. I won't mind if some of the time you go without your panties in your long, elegant skirt when you're talking to a room full of brainiacs. I can sit there and wonder, is she or isn't she? The idea makes me hard as a fucking rock. You're so crazy. But she loved it. Loved the way he could make her feel so sexy and wanted. We've got to get moving, Princess. I don't want to wait too long. Where I'm taking you is a distance away. He put a tote bag with two towels sticking out of it into her arms and lifted her into his. He always cradled her close, tight against his chest. She inhaled him, taking his scent into her lungs. I love the way you always smell. She was used to him carrying her, and she buried her face in his neck, feeling very daring when she gave in to the impulse to touch her tongue to his skin, tasting him. She'd wanted to do it almost since she'd arrived at the Fontenot home, but she'd resisted. He paused in the hallway, just outside the door to their room. You're going to get yourself in trouble. She lifted her head and looked into his eyes. What happens when I get in trouble? Is it good or bad? That depends. He started walking again. We'll see what you think when it happens. Just for that non-answer, she scraped her teeth along the pulse beating so steadily in his neck. It wasn't fair. Her pulse was beating out of control, and his was as stable as a rock. She heard his breath hiss out in a long rush, but he didn't say anything. Satisfied that she got to him and that the terrible need building in her was also wreaking havoc with him, she lifted her head to catch that first glimpse of the river stretching out in the sun. She could understand why Nani and her husband had chosen this spot all those years ago. Sitting on the porch, one had the view, and it was breathtaking. She could be happy sitting on a porch with Gino, holding hands, watching the sunset as she imagined Nani had done with her husband. The land you bought, Gino, does it have river frontage? Yes. It was important to have direct access to water, land, and air. I was thinking more of porches in the evening, she admitted. I guess I should think more about defending our home from Whitney and Jew and anyone else who might come for us. You think about the sun setting and the two of us sitting on our porch. That's the point of you being with a man like me, Zara. You don't need to worry about whether or not you and the children are protected. If you know me, and you will get there, you'll never have to ask yourself that question. He stepped carefully into the boat, with her cradled against his chest. She didn't know how he could remain so balanced, especially with her in his arms. The boat rocked, but his body seemed to just go with it, uncaring as he stepped to the center to place her carefully on the thick cushions. Tell me if that feels all right. It's important to always tell me the truth. Few things get me pissed, Zara, but lies can get me there fast. There isn't any need for lies between us. She nodded, knowing he meant every word of that. He was doing his best to show her who he was, so she understood what he expected in the relationship. He wanted her to do the same. She didn't know what to expect, because not only hadn't she ever been in a relationship, she'd never seen one. She knew that was another reason Belicia worried about her choosing Gino so fast. Belicia knew Zara was going to have to follow Gino's lead, but what she didn't understand was that took all the worry and fear from her. She didn't have to be afraid she was doing the wrong thing. My bum feels quite all right, thank you, Gino, she informed him, swiveling around, trying to see everything all at once. She loved being outdoors, and the scenery was beautiful. We've got everything I think we need, including food. Drinks are in the cooler on ice. I brought a jacket for you just in case we come back late, and there are weapons in the locker right at your feet. Her head went up, her eyes meeting his. Are you expecting company? He shrugged. Not really. Just being cautious. I like to plan for every contingency. Hang on. Let's get moving. The first 15 minutes of the boat moving up the river toward the bay had her laughing and turning in her seat, trying to take in all the birds. Large white cranes walked on long legs in shallower water, and others were in the trees on either side of the water. Everywhere she looked, there was something happening. Trees gave way to brush, and then sawgrass. Tall cypress trees rose up out of the water, knobby knees reaching toward the center of the river. The current had picked up now that they were out in the open, away from homes. The shallower water gave way to deeper channels. She turned her face up to the sky and laughed. "Gino, thank you for this," she shouted to him. He put his thumb up, grinned at her, and kept steering the boat straight down the river, clearly heading somewhere prearranged. Excitement skittered through her. She loved that she felt safe with Gino. She'd never felt safe, not even with Belicia and Shyla. They hadn't either. Whitney had made certain of that. She wanted Belicia to feel this safe with Ezekiel, and she wished with all her heart that Shyla could find her way to freedom and land somewhere safe, if not with them. The boat slowed, and she looked around her. They had gone through so many twists and turns, going into canals and even one shallow waterway that was a little scary. She'd been afraid the boat would get hung up. She wasn't certain where they were, but it didn't matter. The sandbar was right out in the sun, and the water was pooled in a crater right in the center of the bar. The crater is formed of mostly smooth rock, looking like one solid piece about 7 feet across and as many feet wide. You can look right down to the rock floor. It can't be more than 5 feet deep. Maybe 5 and a half in the deepest center, he informed her. Nice, clear water. No alligators.
Wow. So cool,
she said as he cut the engine to the boat. She loved the swamp. It was very humid, and a small bead of sweat trickled between her breasts. Wait right here, Gino cautioned as he made his way to her. He handed her a water bottle and then pulled the boat onto the sandbar before spreading a blanket and carrying the tote, picnic basket, and drinks cooler onto the little bar. Zara watched his every move. Her breath caught in her throat. She could barely take her eyes off him. He'd given her so much. There was freedom in allowing him to make decisions when she had no idea how to live outside Whitney's compound. Still, she had to talk to Belicia about Ezekiel, Trapp, and Wyatt. It wouldn't be right to put that burden on Gino without first consulting her sister about the other men. He took the weapons from the locker next, and she found herself looking carefully around their little spot of paradise. Even here, deep in the swamp, surrounded by the intricate canals, a place she was lost in without Gino's guidance, he still worried about someone coming after them. "Do you think Whitney has another team close by? Or Zhu? Did the person watching him tell you he's left Shanghai?" Apprehension crawled up her throat. Gino didn't answer at once. He came back to her, moving like the predator he was, that fluid stalk that took her breath and made her heart pound. He stepped onto the boat, his weight making it rock slightly so that she clutched at the edge of the long bench seat she was perched on. He came right to her, crouching down so he was eye level with her. "Princess, do you think for one moment I would take a chance on losing you? I went out this morning with 3 others, scouting. No one has come near our piece of the swamp. Not close to traps, not where I'm building, not near Zeke and Belicia's build, and not near the Fontenot home. If I thought you were in any kind of danger right now, I would have you locked up in the panic room. They'll come, but not today, and not here. No one could have followed us the way I came, not without me noticing." He picked her up, and she wrapped her arms around his neck, relaxing into his hold. She could enjoy their afternoon together without worry.
Where was everyone?
He must have known she was talking about Belicia. She desperately wanted to talk to her and straighten things out between them. Zeke took Belicia to the bay. He said sometimes she needs to swim in salt water. He's been keeping her hydrated. Apparently, she has a difficult time if she's not soaking in water daily. Gino put her down on the blanket. He was gentle about it. She didn't hurt nearly as much as she had before. It was easy to be aware of the difference when she was sitting on a sandbar,
with only a thin piece of material and a blanket between her and the ground.
Granted, he'd brought a thicker blanket, but her bottom didn't hurt at all when she put her weight on it. Nani took Cayenne, Pepper, and the girls into town to shop, so they have a large escort, he continued. Zara was elated that all of them had gone into town together. That meant life could be somewhat normal, even if they had an escort to do it.
Is it always this humid?
Little beads of sweat formed on her skin and trickled down the valley between her breasts. She was grateful she wasn't wearing tons of clothing. The rock pool looked very inviting. Gino nodded.
Pretty much. I'm used to it now.
I'll get used to it, too.
She took the bottle of water he handed to her and drank, letting the ice-cold liquid slide down her throat. Her gaze flicked from the pool back to him, and found he was looking at her throat as she swallowed. The blood in her veins turned to a slow, molten heat, moving through her entire body. Tension coiled deep. She had to do something, or she was going to start begging for more kisses. It seemed like she was always asking him to kiss her, and really, it had to come from him.
"It's hot."
"You can cool off in the pool."
She nodded. It seemed like a good idea. Already, he could see her nipples were hard right through the nearly transparent material of the bathing suit cover-up.
"I'd like that."
Gino immediately rose and carried a small flat cushion to the edge of the natural rock basin. He added two folded towels, tucking several weapons into one of the towels. She watched him, her heart in her throat, shocked at how much pleasure she got just being with him, just anticipating spending the rest of the day with him.
Chapter 12. Gino glanced down at Zara's face as he lifted her into his arms and carried her to the edge of the pool where he'd put the cushion for her to sit on.
"You want to go in? You let me take you in. Don't just drop down. The floor of the pool is hard rock."
She was so beautiful. She took his breath away. He didn't understand how she could be looking at a man like him, not when she was intelligent, gorgeous, sweet beyond imagining, and so perfect. But he wasn't about to throw away his one chance at happiness.
"Will do. It's stunning out here."
A slight breeze had kicked up, just enough to fan her face when the humidity threatened to keep her from breathing.
"Listen to it," Gino said, and dragged off his boots and then his jeans. "The swamp has its own sound, its own rhythm." He was going to let her see what she did to him, get used to the idea of his naked body. He'd seen hers 100 times, tempting him. Looking at her now, he had no idea how he managed to resist her. He wasn't wearing a stitch by the time she stopped looking around at the scenery. She nearly squeaked, but managed to suppress the sound before it got loose. Her eyes dropped to his cock and went wide with shock. Then her mouth opened. He very casually tossed a towel beside her on the rock and, after throwing his shirt to one side, sank down beside her. He threaded his fingers in her hair. "Haven't you ever seen a man's body before?" She swallowed and nodded, kept staring.
"You're absolutely beautiful. Your body."
Her tone was almost reverent. It was the last thing he expected her to say. He had scars, more than a few. Muscles. Clothes hid his strength, but he knew his body could be intimidating.
"I grew up in Whitney's compound. He didn't believe in a woman being modest. We were put on earth to serve a man. We were used for experiments. Emotions didn't matter to him. In fact, they only got in the way."
"Women serving men. Don't know about that. I got myself a beautiful princess. If anyone is serving anyone, it would be the other way around."
He massaged her scalp, loving the feel of all that hair.
like silk.